Well, welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of Right Down the Street. My name is Brian Barnett. I'm the mayor of the city of Rochester Hills and your host for this podcast. So Right Down the Street, as you know, is designed to celebrate the ideas, the perspectives, and the passions of the people in and around our community. And certainly today, we have a very special guest of someone whose work impacts our community. And excited to introduce him to you in just a moment. For those of you that have watched and listened to a few of our broadcasts in the past, you know, we've had some really exciting guests who have brought a unique perspective and flavor to the show. And today I am honored to welcome our county executive, Dave Coulter, to the program. Dave has a unique background and one that I'm very personally familiar with. Dave was a mayor. And we always say, Dave, once a mayor, always a mayor. I was the mayor of Ferndale from 2011 to 2019, where you had a really crazy appointment process, which we'll talk a little bit about, and have become our county exec and served as our county exec since 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David Coulter to the show. Dave, welcome, my friend.
Mayor, awesome to be with you here. Great to see you or hear you.
Well, let's start with that. I mean, you served as mayor for a long time. In your opinion, what was the best and worst parts about serving as mayor of your community?
Well, great question. Because, and I know you share this, but I love being mayor. Mayor is one of the best jobs in politics, I think, because it's really on the front lines of government. People don't always know who their county executive or county commissioner is, or maybe even a council person, but everybody knows who the mayor is, and they have strong opinions on what they would like you to be doing. So you hear very directly from the people. Now that's, you know, I guess that could be good or bad, but I like people. I love hearing from people, and I enjoyed just the immediacy of the job and the connection that you have locally, and the ability to problem solve. So when someone comes up and says, "Mayor, I got this pothole on my street, and it's a major problem," you're in a position to actually be able to reach out to the right folks, get it fixed. And, you know, that's kind of what most of us go into public service for, is to be able to solve people's problems. So I loved that about being mayor. You know, I'd say one of the challenging parts was, as you said, I started in 2011 and I was there till 2019. There was sort of a sea change in communications that happened as a result of social media. When I became mayor, social media was just still kind of in its infancy. But by the time I was done, there were multiple groups of Ferndale residents in various different forums and chats. And when they tagged you in a question, they wanted an immediate response. And if you didn't respond to them right away, that thread could get out of control really fast. And so keeping up with the new forms of communication was really challenging, frankly. It wasn't my favorite part of the job. Let me just say that.
Well, I can relate to that. In the era of Facebook chat groups and Nextdoor and all these other things, if you're not responding in a few minutes, it can spiral quickly. You're right. Communication has changed a lot. When someone says mayor in a crowd, Dave, you still turn around every once in a while?
Yes. In fact, a lot of people still call me mayor because it's just a name they like to say. It flows off the tongue. County exec, that doesn't have the same cachet. So in Ferndale, people still call me mayor. Unfortunately, in the rest of my life, people have gone back to calling me Dave, which I'm fine with.
Well, you're very approachable, obviously. I think that's one of the reasons people enjoy working with you. Tell me a little bit about the difference between county exec and being mayor.
You know, there's a lot of similarities, obviously, because this is still local government, you know, different services and the like, but this is still kind of local government. So a lot of it is just the magnitude of it. Ferndale was 20,000 people and a budget of about $46 million. Oakland County is almost 1.3 million people. We're bigger than 9 states when it comes to population, Mayor, if you can believe that. And a budget of close to $1 billion. So a lot of it is just where the decimal point is in terms of the magnitude of what you're doing. But what it also means for me is it's a very large and diverse county. I mean, we have everything from urban areas, kind of like where I'm from in the South, to suburban, to exurban, to very rural areas and everything in between. And so I spent probably the first 6 months in this job just kind of going around the county and listening more than I talked and introducing myself, but really listening to the issues, because I don't pretend to know the issues of a rural and maybe exurban areas as well as I do my own. And so it's just the biggest difference has just been the diversity of opinions and ideas and challenges that different communities have. I know when you and I got together early on in my tenure, and I really appreciated that, you called and invited me out to breakfast just to catch up and chat. And I asked you, you know, what some of the problems were. And I didn't expect that the first thing out of your mouth would be the deer, you know, that you've got a lot of deer that we have to try to manage and call, and however you do that, you know, that's not an issue in Ferndale. So just learning about all the various aspects of our county and the different challenges, that was striking to me.
You know, if you could figure out a way that we could send some of those deer to Ferndale, your numbers would probably shoot through the roof in Rochester Hills, just so you know.
All right.
You know, you talk about your approach when you first became county exec. And I know one of the things you did, in fact, you and I were both on Michigan Matters this past weekend with Carol. You talked about having lunch with Mayor Duggan and the regional leaders, Warren Evans and Mark Hackle, or dinner. I think you had them to your house. What was that like? That had to be an interesting conversation.
It really was, you know.
Anybody overstay their welcome? Anybody try to, you know, try to take anything from the house? Any good stories there?
Not that I've noticed. No, they were gracious guests. I like to say that Warren Evans brought a bottle of wine. Mark Hackle brought pies for dessert, and Mike Duggan brought an appetite. So. But it was very nice. I was the new guy, so I thought it was an opportunity for them to get to know me a little bit without an agenda, you know, without any specific issues that we wanted to talk about. But I also thought it was important because, you know, in this region in Southeast Michigan, over the years, there've been some challenging relationships. Things haven't always gone as regionally smooth as I think some of us would like. And, you know, my view has always been that there's a lot more that we have in common. And if we can focus on those things that we have in common and work together on the issues where we agree, we could do a lot of good things as a region. So that was just my way of kind of helping to break the ice and introduce myself to them. But I will tell you, we had a really fruitful conversation. It was really frank and honest, and I won't talk a lot about it because a lot of it really was just kind of getting to know you. But we made some progress, especially on the issue of transit. We came to some agreements on that have been helpful as we've moved forward. So, you know this mayor as well as I do, but this is really at the end of the day, a people person kind of business. It's about the relationships that you have. And I'm glad that we have such a good one, because if something comes up in Farmington Hills, you know, you don't have to be second guessing. You can go right to the source. I can call the mayor, you can call me. And it is a lot about trust and relationships. And so that's what I was trying to do with that dinner. And it was fun, but it was also helpful.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. It is always about relationships. I tell that to my kids. I tell that to interns. I tell that to students that come through for tours. Most things in life are really about relationships, and always good to build them outside of a crisis, because when you do find yourself in a crisis, you don't want to be meeting people for the first time or introducing yourself. And certainly that's sort of what we've been in a little bit. The last 18 months have been sort of crisis management. And obviously we have followed a lot of the lead of the county and the health department and all the things that the county's been doing to support small businesses and so forth. Not to dwell on the negative, because certainly we've all talked about that a lot, but has there been a silver lining to you through this pandemic that has taught you something either about yourself or about Oakland County or about people in general that has been a real positive through these challenging months?
Yeah, I like that question, because it's easy to focus on the negative and the stuff that we're arguing about. But at the end of the day, I think I like to think that history is going to look at this as a historic moment where we did rise to the challenge, as difficult as it was. None of us had been through a global pandemic before. And you know what we've been able to accomplish by keeping, you know, throwing a lifeline to our small businesses and keeping most of them afloat in a really challenging time. And it, you know, we never had to get that much money out the door in a good grant program to them. And we did it. And our public health department, man, you know, most people weren't even aware that the county ran public health. You know, county government can be sort of the invisible level of government. But I think people really saw and appreciated that we have an awesome public health department. We had 4 epidemiologists on staff. I'm pretty sure most people didn't even know what an epidemiologist was 18 months ago, but we do now, and we know what they do, and we know how well they do it. And they really leaned into this. So just, you know, what I'm most grateful for is both on the public health side and on the economic side where we've been working to support our businesses, people really stepped up in ways that, you know, maybe the stereotype would be that, you know, government bureaucrats, you know, they're set in their ways, they're not innovative. Oh no, I can tell you, and I'm really proud of the fact that the folks that we had here in Oakland County, and I know you've seen this in Rochester Hills among your staff, they pivoted, they got flexible, they did things in new ways, and they just kept at it. And I think at the end of the day, we've done about as well as we could to get through this pandemic. And I'm really proud of the way employees rose to the challenge.
Sure. My name is Brian Barnett. I'm mayor of the city of Rochester Hills. We're on with Oakland County Executive David Coulter. Dave, the last question about the pandemic as we turn the corner is that counties, states, and cities, to some extent, received some funding from the federal government. Our city didn't get very much because when it was scrubbed through some various different indexes, our amount came down quite a bit. But of course, the state got about $4.5 billion, and the county got I think about $250 million. What are your plans for that? What are your priorities? You know, where will we see the county really look to invest those federal funds moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to your point about maybe not getting the resources that you thought, you know, when we've got the first round of funding last year, the CARES Act funding, local communities didn't get anything. And so we supported the financial COVID needs of our communities through the county. And we're always looking to do that. We know that the county's only as strong as its communities. And so one of the things that we want to do is talk to our communities about what are your greatest needs. And maybe there's a way we can either match dollars or leverage funds so that we can have a greater impact together, knowing that you don't have all the money you need. We don't have all the money that, you know, in the world, but between us and the state, maybe we can increase that impact. So one of them is working with our local communities potentially for matches. The other big area that won't surprise folks is going to be infrastructure. There's no question, obviously, we've talked about this for years before the pandemic, but we got to lean in on our infrastructure, not just roads, but underground sewer and water and broadband and the like. The complicating thing there is we're not sure exactly what's going to be in the infrastructure bill and how that's going to impact the other funds. But we're going to lean in on infrastructure. We've taken kind of a two-pronged approach so far. There are still what we call acute needs from COVID. And so we got about $29 million out the door immediately for these acute needs. And I would say those are things like small business support, mental and behavioral health services, which I'm very concerned about. I was before the pandemic and I continue to be. And a number of things like that. But now the difference between last time is we get 3 years to plan how to spend the rest of the money. So we're not under quite the gun to get it out the door as fast. We're going to be thoughtful about it. We're going to look for how we can leverage what you're doing, mayor, at the local level, what the state is doing to leverage what they're doing. But there'll be a number of other priority areas that we roll out here over the next 12 months or so.
Sure. And do you think it's fair that Rochester Hills should get all of the money, or should we leave a little bit for a few other communities?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm open. Rochester Hills is that you're so well run that you don't really need anything. So,
well, listen, that's a great answer. That's a smart answer on many fronts. Dave. Smart answer on many fronts. That's someone who served as mayor for a number of years with that response. Well done. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Let's turn it to be, you know, one of the things we like to do on the program is kind of get to know people a little bit better. We've talked a little bit about your job and the challenges, but Dave, you're a high energy guy. You know, I'm curious because I don't even know the answers. What does a typical Dave Coulter weekend look like? Where do you have the most fun? What do you enjoy? Where do you spend your time and your energy when you're not in that big desk right there?
That's a great question because I don't get a lot of free time. I mean, if I look at this last weekend, I had a couple of events on Saturday. I had another event Sunday morning. As you know, Mayor, these jobs are not 9 to 5. And so, one thing though that I do love to do is I went to Michigan State. I'm a huge Spartan fan. I always try to carve time on the, you know, during football season on Saturday to watch my Spartans, or in basketball season to try to watch as many games as possible or go to games.
It was a good weekend.
The Spartans are looking good this year, exceeding expectations, which I tried to keep low, but I am all on board for our the new coach. Tucker seems to be doing a great job. So you know, I'm a sports guy. I like to watch sports and play golf and tennis a little bit when I do get some free time. But the other funny thing is, and I don't know, because Brian, I would consider both you and your brother Chris to be pretty high energy guys as well. I think that's why I like you. You know, I think all three of us are kind of passionate about the work that we do. But what people don't often know about me is that technically I'm kind of introverted. I can be outgoing. I can be high energy, but often when I get home, that's when I need to relax, shut the TV off, just kind of chill a little bit. It's not all the time. So a lot of times my home time is just really relaxing, sitting out on the deck and just, you know, enjoying some downtime.
I'm going to write that word down, relax, and look into that later. I need to figure out that word a little bit more. Dave, you've obviously, I have two questions here. One, for those of you that don't know, you had I'd like to hear your word, but what would be the word or two words you would describe in how you became mayor to how you became county exec? That was a wild time in Oakland County politics there.
Well, it really was. You can't make that up. It was sort of unbelievable because it all unfolded very quickly. And unfortunately, started with the passing of Brooks Patterson. But then, you know, everybody started to figure out what the rules were. And, you know, the commission has 30 days to make an appointment. And the commission, I won't get into the weeds, but the commission is 11 to 10, Democrat to Republican. There was a lot of jockeying. There was a lot of discussion. And me, just being kind of a political creature who used to serve on the commission, you know, I was sitting on the sidelines, just sort of watching it all unfold with everybody else. You know, there were some people clearly lobbying and positioning themselves to get the appointment and all of that. I was not. I was just watching it from the sidelines. And, you know, it was talk about sausage making. It was not the prettiest process in the world, and sometimes politics isn't. And, you know, it's true that I didn't really know until about 24 to 48 hours before the commission was going to make the appointment that they, you know, that they had floated my name as somebody that, you know, might be able to sort of get 11 votes. And, I had to make that decision in about 24 hours, whether this was something I wanted to do or not. And I'll tell you this, Brian, I've made some of the biggest life decisions very quickly. I visited the first college that I went and toured, which was Michigan State. When I bought my first house, I bought the first house that my realtor showed me. So sometimes I just go with my gut and say, wow, this feels right. Yes, I'm in. I'll give this a try. And that's kind of what I did when some of the commissioners reached out and said, you know, we've been talking about you. Is this something you'd be interested in? For better or worse, my instinct said, sure.
Sure. Well, life is about opportunities, right? And taking those as they come up. I can think about my career as well. And there's certain persons put something in your ear and you think about it overnight and talk about it with trusted friends and colleagues and make a decision. That's interesting to hear that. You know, obviously, Dave, one of the things that we try to do in this program is talk a little bit about leadership. Obviously, people look to you for leadership now in your role, but in your career, both now and sort of in your formative years, you know, who are some of the folks that you looked up to, leaders that you aspired, that you respected, and maybe you stole a few tricks of the trade and emulate them now in your role as Oakland County executive?
Yeah. This might, you know, there's a number of people that I've been blessed to study from and learn from and be mentored by. And I've learned a lot over the years. I'll surprise you with my first name, but you know, I served on the commission when Brooks Patterson was the county executive. And I heard Brooks say many, many times that the secret to his success was hiring a really talented and smart group of deputies to help him do the work that he does. Don't be intimidated by people that are smarter than you in the fields that they, that you know, that they're good at. And I believe that that's true. And I feel like I've tried to do that to the best of my ability. And I have a really great staff of people and they challenge me all the time. I don't want to be around yes people. I want to be around people that will give me their straight, unbiased, unvarnished opinions. And at the end of the day, I'll make the final decision, but I like to hear from all voices and all sides. And I thrive on that kind of conversation. So I think that was good advice. I also had a boss. I worked at MishCon for 13 years, mostly in their public affairs communications area. And I had a boss there that taught me something that I've always taken with me. And that is that if you're gonna help your employees be innovative and empowered and do new and innovative things, you have to give them permission to fail right away. That if you have employees that never fail, they're probably not pushing themselves or their organizations enough. They're just doing what they've always done. And so, you know, that really came into play when I was mayor. I think we had a staff that was leery of making a mistake and being called out. And I was challenging them to do some new and creative things. And it was, and I promised them, look, if something doesn't work, I'll take the heat for it. As long as you've learned for it and you learned from it and you know, you're gonna course correct, I'm good. And when they actually saw me do that, something didn't work. And I stood up and said, yep. And I took the heat and I told the resident how we were going to fix it. It really empowered them to do their best. And so, you know, I would encourage leaders, because I learned that from a boss of mine at MishCon by the name of Mary Zatina, actually, who I really admired. Who taught me that you have to give people permission to fail as long as they've learned from the failures and they take right. that with them.
Right. You know, two things I'd say. First of all, I couldn't agree with you more. When people ask me about folks in my life that I've watched and tried to emulate, you know, for all the things that Brooks Patterson was to a lot of people, he was a strong leader and he taught me a lot about leadership, about making decisions, about what you said, finding good people, trusting those people. And he'll always be someone who remains on my list of formidable leaders who shaped my career path and guided me. And the other thing you mentioned, which I think is really important, Dave, that idea about failing is so critical. And it's easy to say, and it was a realization to me one time, it's kind of a simple story, but I was talking to someone in our purchasing department and someone had complained about, you know, why we always sort of use the same companies, these sort of big behemoth companies and these upstart garage kind of companies, you know, that could do something a little faster, a little cheaper, but slightly risky, you know, how they never could get bids from the city. And we looked at our bid process and, you know, you had to have 10 years of doing business and you had to have 5 years of experience with cities our size and, you know, insured up to $10 trillion. I mean, all these kinds of crazy things that we had. And it was because we had built an environment here that is really risk adverse. And I remember some staff members saying, listen, our job, Mayor, is to keep you out of the paper. Our job is to make sure you're never embarrassed about a contract. And it was this kind of realization that you have these two worlds colliding where you know, and I said, listen, it's okay. I understand. I have to have broad enough shoulders to take some of this risk. If we're going to be a word that you've used a couple of times, Dave, innovative in our approach and our response to things. And so I think there is a culture of risk avoidance in government because, you know, it can be unforgiving if you make a mistake. But if we as leaders can create an environment where our teams can present ideas and not worry about, potentially a failure, that's really important. You hit the nail on the head there. Dave, one last question. I really appreciate you being on the program today. And this is a question we always end with. And I'll ask it slowly so you can think about it because it's kind of a unique one. But if you could, there's a two-part question. If you could have dinner with anybody in history, alive or deceased, two questions. Who would it be? And just as important, where would you have it?
That is an awesome question. I'll go with my initial gut. I studied history in college. I love history, and I particularly love biographies. I love to study what famous leaders have done in challenging times in history. I have so many people that come to mind, but one of my very favorite leaders of all time is Abraham Lincoln. I find him fascinating, not just for the obvious reasons that he had to lead the country through a civil war, but his background, his humble beginning, his appearance, which was not particularly conducive to being a politician. The depression that he suffered. His story to me is fascinating, and I have a lot of questions for him. So I think, you know, if I had the opportunity to sit down with anybody, and he's a great storyteller, by the way. So I'd love to. I'd probably sit down with Abe Lincoln. Now, where we would do it is interesting. I'm gonna go a little off course here. I come from a city, Ferndale, that has a lot of great restaurants. And I'm gonna avoid that so that I don't pick out any in particular. And I'm gonna say this. Now, Mayor, before the program started, we talked a little bit about Mackinac Island. And I really enjoy Mackinac Island for a lot of reasons. But one is because you can't help but be there and sort of get taken back in time, right? I mean, it reminds you of a simpler, different era, and it just has a way of taking you out of present day 21st century America and helping expand your perspective of history. And so, thinking of that, if I could have lunch or dinner with Abe Lincoln in one of the nice restaurants on Mackinac Island, where it kind of puts me in that mind frame, that would be awesome. So that'll be my answer.
That's a great, thoughtful answer. Abe Lincoln at the Pink Pony. I love it. That's a strong answer. Actually, where I thought you were going is that, you know, sitting, listening to him tell stories on the porch at the Grand would be pretty remarkable. Sure. That would be pretty remarkable. Maybe one of the most thoughtful answers we've had on the program. Dave, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate you. Appreciate the open relationship we have. Appreciate the fact that Rochester Hills is your favorite city in your county. know that we'll enjoy a good working relationship as we move forward. Thank you again for being here. Thanks for taking the time. For those of us in the audience, thank you for joining listen and learn from people who live, work with you and me right down the street. Hopefully you'll join us for our next show. Thanks for being here. Until next time, so long and God bless.